Welcome to Talk Line. For the YK, I'm adjusting my mic here. I don't think I was on quite right. Okay, so for the YK Delta and beyond, I'm Diane McGachran. And
I'm Peter Ratchett. Good morning.
Good morning, and we're here to take your calls, your emails. You can be anonymous. You can use your name. I'll read your email over the air if you do email us. And we have numbers that you can call us at.
And the numbers are 543-5985. That's 543-KYUK. And the other number, 543-2756. 1-800-995-8954.
Yes, and it looks like we have a caller already, and it's our... It's kind of a traditional caller now,
right.
Mr. John
yes.
Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Oh, boy, got on there. I had a holler at you guys. Hey. Come who I was.
All right. Good morning, John.
Morning, Peter and Diane. How are you guys doing there?
Just
oh,
great.
Good. Thank Do you, you have your radio on?
Yeah, it's in the other room, though. I'm outside here.
That side is mine.
Oh, okay. Hey, can you turn your airplane down?
Oh, yeah. They're always coming over this area.
That's all right.
It's okay. Let them know everybody's flying. You know, I was looking at the barges, and they had a tragic accident last week. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the barge down here by the harbor, that lone barge that parked out there.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it only has one or two buoys. I don't understand why they don't have that thing buoyed over all around it, because nowadays it's getting dark real early, and then the people are still sounding the river. They need a, if it was a Coast Guard regulations, they'd have to have that thing buoyed around, and Coast Guard regulations, you have to have a light on the barge, even if it's not at a standstill. That's warning lights in case somebody bumps it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot safer because that thing is rusted over and it's black, and it coincides with the water. You can't see it till you're upon it, except for the buoys. There's only two buoys. They should have that thing surrounded with buoys. You know what I mean? Just to be on the safety side. If the Coast Guard regulations were here, if they were Coast Guard, they'd be cited because they're supposed to have it so that you can visually see where an obstacle is at nighttime. And they should have that. It's just an accident waiting to happen. I heard somebody bumped it last year, and hopefully, you know, well, I guess nobody got drowned or nothing, but still everybody might have got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, they should look into that because... That's a lawsuit liability right there. If somebody should bump that, they can sue whoever owns that barge, and they can put a lawsuit against the Coast Guard of Alaska because they're not coming down here to over here seeking regulations or anything. You mostly see them in big cities. I don't understand why we don't have them here because our main mode of transportation is boats during the summer, and they should look into that. For safety reasons, you know. I'm thinking of other people's injuries and lives. They should be thinking the same, you know. It's dangerous the way that thing is right now, you know. And right now during the fall, the sun comes down early and it's dark early now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where in the summertime, we can always see it.
Yeah, you're
anyway,
right.
Anyway, that's one of the things I wanted to call about. And if you're out berry picking and you're out hunting now, it's almost that time for birds and berries. Please pick up your trash and bring it home with you. Don't leave the tundra or wherever you're at all trashy. You know, we want it pristine and beautiful just as much as you'd like to see that. And animals really appreciate that. Maybe you'll catch more. Fish or birds.
Yeah.
One of the two. And berries. So,
yes.
Please have a safe weekend. Everyone, please wear your life jackets and please don't drink and drive. And if you're out there traveling at night, please be aware of obstacles such as floating barges and other boats, you know.
Yes.
And be safe.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Diana, yes. Right. Yes, thank you.
You guys have a good weekend.
Yes, you know.
And safe.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, John's got a valid concern there. You know, there's a lot of debris that we've been hearing about that's also floating on the river because the water levels had gone upstream quite significantly and then floated up a lot of those sticks and logs that are floating now. And last I heard, they were couple of days ago. I think they might have been nearing Tuluksac, some of those clutter of debris and logs coming down to Kuskokwim. So be careful out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the barge submerged, those barge, that's been a problem for a long time.
Yeah.
But what entity will remove them? And then there's a discrepancy between the owner and the person who rented it, but then
returned it,
and then it got loose.
You know, you're talking about the steamboat slough.
Oh, I'm
barges?
Talking about that one, yeah. Yeah, those barges, yeah.
It seemed like we heard something last year.
I thought so.
That somebody was planning on coming by to take them out or remove them.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard anything after that.
Yeah,
so,
me neither.
But he's right. Yeah, it's getting dark early, and a lot of people forget that, you know, it gets dark fast.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dark, you know, it's really hazardous to be traveling by boat.
Yeah, we've had there's been some difficulties with that.
Yeah.
Some tragedy recently.
Yeah. So other things happening, you know, I was just reading this, that the Bethel services will be closing a portion of the Chief Eddie Hoffman Highway on Friday, August 24th. That's today at 9 p.m. through Sunday, August 26th at 4 a.m. while they run a water line through the highway near YKHC Elderly Care and YKCC. Traffic will be diverted to Standard Oil Road and Old Hospital Road. For any questions, contact Kimo Dewees 310-907-310-4792 or Michael Lack at 907-644-1756.
Yeah, so it's going to be the scenic route.
Oh, yeah.
For a couple of days.
That's a good way to look at it.
And enjoy, you'll come real close to the majestic Kuskokwim River.
Like that.
So enjoy. Yeah. All right, so we have a couple of callers lined up, so we'll just take them. Renee from the Cultural Center. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, you two.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Awesome.
I'm going to mention first that if you missed the Taste of Bethel, I am so sorry for you because it was absolutely fabulous. It was fabulous.
You know, pity me because I forgot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Diane, the one who was going to get the flan from the Philippines.
Well, there was no flan this year, but there was so many other good things.
And I was going to get sauerkraut from Poland, and I had my plan. And there I was sitting watching TV going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be somewhere.
Yeah.
I
missed that too, you know. I got fed so good over at the fire station.
Oh, that's right. They had a thing, didn't they?
I got filled up over there, and then I was waiting for my stomach to kind of settle down before I went over, and I got to doing some other stuff.
I gotcha.
We had 17 chefs that were just fabulous. We served over 1,500 dishes, and
good job.
All the chefs got, you know, they were compensated for their time, and it was quite an event. So they were probably just about sold out by 6 p.m. and we started at 5. So there were more people in that building than I've seen ever. So
It
was huge success.
It was well advertised,
It was really well attended, and I think everybody really enjoyed it as well. So the first thing I'm going to bring up is, of course, tomorrow's Saturday market.
Yes.
And the doors will open at 8:30 for vendors and from 10 to 2 for all of the public. It's going to be a great chance to get together with all your buddies coming back from summer vacation, have a little conversation about what you did for summer vacation, and have lunch, see what new artists and other people have for things for sale. So stop by the Cultural Center tomorrow between 10 and 2. And then here's some information about the upcoming Bethel Community Fair.
Okay.
The deadline for entries, and this includes everything from your best jam to your furniture that you've made, to paintings, to photography, to your biggest plant, if you've got a huge, you know, zucchini, bring it in. That's going to be Thursday, September 6th. You have to get it in by 6 p.m. And the judging, I've decided, is going to be Friday at 6 p.m. because I have to set the whole thing up so it looks good, right? So it'll be open to the public on Friday, but I'll still be setting it up. And the judging is going to occur Friday night. So if you're interested in judging 6 p.m., please come down. We will have some snacks and juice. Call me. Let me get you on the list. My number is, and I'll give this several times, 543-4538. Or stop by here at the Cultural Center. Diane, I have you on the list.
Oh, you know it.
I got you.
Yeah.
So,
you got me down. What do you got me down for?
Well, Diane, you know, you don't always get to pick and choose what to judge, but I will do my
best.
Oh,
wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I put my name in weeks ago.
You did, and
pies and tarts.
I will do my
best. Do your best. Oh, my gosh.
Diane,
the answer is yes. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. I respect whatever you could have me do pickled salmon, I guess, if that's what I'm doing. All right, go ahead.
Also that evening, the Friday evening at 7 p.m., is going to be the cribbage tournament. There's going to be prizes. Casey's organizing that. Please call him if you can ahead of time so he knows how many, you know, how to set up the way you get to the winner's circle. That his number is 545-4415, and that's going to be Friday night here, 7 p.m. at the Cultural Center. Saturday night, Grady is running the Bethel's Got Talent. He's hustled for some prize money for the, and he's got that all organized. You do need to pre-register if possible. Well, not if possible. I think Grady will probably talk about this, but you need to pre-register with Grady. And you can find him either at the library or email him at Grady, G-R-A-D-Y, at kyuk.org, and give him the name of your act and yourself and contact information. So that, oh, and then also on Saturday, we're having the Fish and Wildlife is going to bring in some birds, and we'll have those over crossed at the Lions Club. And they usually do it like at 12 and 2. They have two different shows. So Fish and Wildlife is going to be doing that again for the fair. And we're working on a couple of other things. The youth activities are going to be happening down at the Teen Center, Youth Center down there. Rhonda Sargent has lots of good things lined up for kids 15 and under. 16 and above, we consider adults. So get a hold of Rhonda if you've got things you want to enter that you made. She's going to have a whole separate judging over there. So call Rhonda at the Youth Center. The last thing I want to mention is Steel Salmon and Raven. If you have one of the, if you're an artist, please contact me. I lost my list.
Oh, okay.
That's really bad. So anybody that you, if you know is working on a raven or a salmon, please call me or email me so I can get your name down again. I have looked everywhere for that darn list, and I cannot find it.
Okay.
For the dinner part, we are going to have the top chefs from Taste of Bethel. They're going to be providing us with 8 different selections for those people who buy dinner tickets. So you'll get 5 out of the 8 to choose from or something. So it's going to be a wonderful, really tasty, diverse dinner. So that's on September 29th. Okay. Tickets will not go on sale until September 1st. So where? And they will be here at the gift shop in the Cultural Center.
Okay.
So anyone that wants to talk about any of this stuff, call me, 543-4538, or stop by the Cultural Center. My office is towards the back of the building going out the rear exit. Mm-hmm. So that's all I've got.
That's a lot. I appreciate all that, you know. So you make Bethel more exciting to be at.
Yes.
a few more things happening anyway. So there you go. Thank you, folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Renee.
Bye.
Darn, I can't believe I missed that Taste of Bethel. And then on top of it, I may not be judging the pies. I need to deal. Okay. I've got to cope with this. It's going to be tough. So anyway, we have Alex from Bethel. Good morning, Alex. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Thank you for taking my call, and I will try to be brief in the comments that I want to make today.
Okay.
Some of which I assume will be a little controversial with respect to the news media that we all are aware of in the region here. One thing that I wanted to mention before I begin is that in each and every community that I reside, now I've been residing over 20 years in Bethel, and I've been an elder for over 15 years, but I choose to pay taxes, local taxes, instead of being tax exempt, so that all of us, not only myself, but all of us will benefit from the from what the tax, local taxes benefits we receive as a resident. And one other thing that I want to mention is that, you know, in a community, we do have a municipal government, we have tribal governments, we have native corporations, and we have other organizations like YKC that are tribal and AVCP. What I want to mention about is, first of all, is that, you know, in the news media all summer, we have been seeing what appears to be power struggle between a couple of people, and also business trying to sell her business owner trying to sell her own business to a Jalisco corporation for multiple amounts of money. And you know, just several people are not shareholders. We have approximately a lot of shareholders in the Jalisco region, and now we have added shareholders from the new approved shareholders in the Jalisco region. What I want to mention about is that, you know, just a handful of people were involved dealing with the meetings between Jalisco and organizations that were involved. I totally believe that when issues like that comes up, other corporations should be involved as well, not only Bethel Native Corporation. We have Oscarville, we have Napaskag, we have Tundra Villages, we have nearby villages like Akachagakiak and Tuliksak and Eek. And, you know, you could name them, and we're only about 45 minutes away from not farthest from further villages that could come and join the discussion of what issues they may have. You know, that money that they talk about, Jalisco Corporation money, belongs to all of the native shareholders, not only several people. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that all native corporations and organizations involved be involved before any agreements are made between our parent corporation and other organizations, you know, when there's going to be sale of businesses involving money that belongs to not only me, but other shareholders. This is something that the ANCSA Corporation was organized for, and was, you know, ANCSA Corporation, I think a lot of people, even the most informed Native Corporation shareholders, are blind to what ANCSA is supposed to bring forth. Let me give you one little Example, Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act Section 7I is supposed to ensure that all of the Alaska Natives will benefit in roughly equal portions from these assets. And, you know, every time when there's oil developments like up north or timber resources and other mineral rights that we give or our Native corporation gives to the parent corporation, it's supposed to benefit us. And for example, this is a legal language, not something I make up. Section 7I mandates that when mineral or timber resources are developed on Native corporation lands, all of 100,000 or more ANCSA Native shareholders are supposed to benefit from that. And where is the benefit? Is your corporation telling you what kind of benefit you're supposed to be receiving from 7I? I haven't received anything. Maybe it was just in a layman terms, but in legal language that I did not understand, maybe. So
you're near your time, Alex. So
folks out there who are board members, tribal members, or leaders of the key organizations, let us know. Let the corporations know. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Alex.
A lot of information, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so good. Next, we have an anonymous caller. Good morning, Anonymous. Welcome to Talk Line.
Is that me?
That's you. You're on the air.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. Good morning to everybody out there. And this is a very exciting moment for me. I mean, it's just about this topic that we're talking about. I mean, it's a big topic. Chalista going haywire and stuff like that. My question is, wouldn't it be a conflict of interest? Number one, the biggest conflict of interest. Even if they go on executive session, you know, like if they go on executive session, they cannot talk about that person of interest behind their backs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would say that is a conflict of interest. These guys are like they don't even know what the heck they're doing, you know? It's very unprofessional. They are making a big-time unprofessional action today, you know, because they are excluding those other four directors. And they're working on this guy, you know. Mr. Don, I give my biggest gratitude for him. I support him. But these other guys who are supporting him, it's because they're supporting him. They're excluding all these people, but they're also inviting other agencies to join with their private meeting. And that is, you know, what I'm thinking about, what I want to say about those private other agencies like YKHC, maybe ONC, whatever, that they're having private meeting with. That is very stupid, too. What those other agencies should have, you know, common sense enough to, you know, think, you know, this is out of order. This is out of order meeting, you know. This is conflict of interest. Why wouldn't those other agencies still join these people when they're excluding other board of directors, which is, you know, that's out of ordinary. And they shouldn't be doing that. What others, you know, there's 56 villages. Right now, I want to say this one. I'm going to say this really quick as I can. There's 56 villages out there, 56 corporations, you know, and these corporation regional, you know, these corporation, they should do something, put up some kind of a resolution or a petition. If they come up, if the majority of the villages, tell us the villages, do something. We can get something done right there. They cannot just go on stepping on us like that. These guys, these dumb people up there, the Unit 4 unit, Napaskiak village people, and, you know, these people are just dominating corporation too much. They don't know what the heck they're doing. So the rest of the cooperation villages can do something. You know, we need to come up. The majority of the village people can make a shareholders informational meeting within their villages and come up with some kind of a resolution. And if the majority of the village region come up with that, we can become a strong voice right there. I promise you. Hmm. So, okay then.
You sound excited about this.
We need to do this. The village, if you hear me, all of you out there listening, you need to get a shareholders meeting within your village right now and we need a majority. And we can come up with a majority of villages out there. Come on, okay? All righty. Good morning.
Okay, good morning, Anonymous. You. Okay. Wow, she knew what she was saying and she said it. All right. We have an email that I'm going to... Oh, no, we have a caller on, Rhonda.
Yeah.
With the 4-H Fair info for kids. So, good morning, Rhonda. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Yes, I want to talk about the fair. We've got it the September 7th and 8th. Mm-hmm. And 4-H is accepting the youth entries from 5 through 14 at the 4-H building that Thursday night before. So you can turn them in at the 4-H clubhouse. And we're looking for adults who would be willing to judge the youth entries. So if you're willing to come and look at what the kids have made and turned in and willing to judge them and award ribbons, come talk to us so we can make sure you get on the list for judging Thursday night.
Now, do you have any youth pies that Diane needs to judge?
I don't know yet, but definitely youth baking, youth cooking, they definitely can do that. So
awesome.
We'll let you know if we get any of those.
I am your judge.
There you go.
Okay.
And then I also wanted to say that every Friday night this semester we're going to have teen time from 7 to 9. Last week was karaoke. Tonight is open clubhouse, so we'll have games out and we'll have some music and kind of like a player's choice. Grandma Rusty's out of town, so we're going to have ice cream instead of pizza. So hope everybody comes anyway and comes to play ping pong or cards or whatever it is. But it's teen night, 7 to 9 tonight at the clubhouse. And then I also wanted to make a plea to our young people or whoever it is that has been around the building doing vandalism on the building, around the building, the sheds. I just want to remind people that we are paid for by the public. Our contributors to the 4-H is, of course, the University of Alaska Fairbanks. It's a land-grant university that holds, that's in charge of 4-H, and so some of the money comes from them. Some of the money comes from the City of Bethel. City of Bethel is our partner two ways. One is it's their building, it's their property, and we are renting it from them. And they pay for the lights and water and all those things, and it's really awesome that they're still partnering with us for over 20 years. They've done that. So, you know, that property, the city property, comes out of your sales tax. So every time, even the kids, when you go to the store and you're paying that 6% sales tax, you are paying for that building and all of those things. So everything that I have to replace because of vandalism is coming out of the kids' pockets, too. And I make sure that I tell the club members that, but I want to make sure that all the public is aware of that. The city also has an agreement with us to do programming funding. So they also put it in the budget every year to help pay for staffing and programming funds. So it's two ways that we partner with the city. And our third partner is AVCP TANF, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, and that's a federal program to help do positive things for not only their clients that are on TANF, but our whole community of families who are in need. So your money, your tax dollars, all of your tax dollars to the federal government, to the city government, that is how we are funded. So everybody, no matter how old they are, if they're shopping, if they're paying taxes, it's coming to the program. So I really want to make sure everybody's aware so that it's their building. It's all of our building, and we have to make sure that we are good stewards of it. And me and my staff, we're doing our best job. I know the city Public Works Department, Building Maintenance, they are doing a great job keeping everything up and running. So I just wanted to make sure that that was out there and everybody understood that. So thank you.
Good, all right. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Rhonda.
All right. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a email that I'm going to read. I'm not sure if this person was going to be anonymous, so I'll err on the side of keeping it anonymous, but I'm going to read. So here's the email. Here is a sneak peek into the future of Donlin Gold if we aren't careful. Kotzebue is considered the most toxic-releasing city due to the Red Dog Mine. The Red Dog Mine in 2016 reveals 83,000 pounds of cadmium compounds, a million pounds of chromium compounds, 415,000 pounds of mercury compounds, and 319 million pounds of lead compounds, all of which was reportedly disposed of on-site at the mine. Think about how much life flows throughout the Kuskokwim River and imagine all of it being sickly, dying, or disease spreading. This is our future with mining on the Kuskokwim. Ooh, that's powerful. Now, if you want to read more different perspectives, this week's Delta Discovery, there's a essay by Rosie Barr, and she is the Vice President of Lands and Natural Resources for Calista Corporation. And she has an extensive essay in the Delta Discovery about how one mine transformed the Northwest Arctic Borough. And it's in support of the mine, and it talks about how the Red Dog Mine had been successful in the Northwest region, and she talks about the economic benefits that it had. So you should read that to get sort of that perspective. And then, as this emailer indicates, you can then go to National Public Radio. Recently did a story on one of the most toxic towns in America, and they were saying it's Kotzebue because of the Red Dog Mine. So you kind of have both points of view that you can sort through and see what you think. I think the concern is the dust, the wind, and what's being blown into the air in terms of some of these chemicals. Mm-hmm. So toxins. So you can kind of decide reading those two points of view. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for your emails, which we're happy to read on air. And you may remain anonymous or use have your name if you'd like. And we'll give out the numbers again. The lines are open. Are there some announcements you want me to read there, Peter? Did you have some for me?
Yeah, if you like, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll read a couple of them.
There's there will be a public hearing on August 28th at the Bethel Cultural Center about Donlin Gold's draft reclamation plans. Then the meeting will start at 4:30 p.m. That's August 28th.
Yeah, and that's a public hearing where there will be more information provided about the plans that Donlin has for reclamation, meaning what they're going to do once they leave, how will they leave, what condition will they leave things, how much money will they leave with the Alaska government that can go toward reclamation. And then it's open forum. People are welcome to make comments, and I can post with this link how you can send your letters of comment, support, opposition, whatever. So you can do it by sending an email or a letter. You can also do it in person at the Cultural Center on August 28th. All right, we have a caller, Willie Keppel from Quinnahawk. Good morning, Willie. Welcome to Talkline.
No, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Willie.
Hey, Peter. Hey, I got one. Might as well get the town stirred up. I'm good at it.
Uh-oh. All right.
Okay, I think, Diane, it's time for you to show the integrity Joe Moses did. All he did was put his name in for a vacant seat. Wasn't even campaigning for council. And KYUK removed him from the radio. And then didn't have the decency to put him back on. Now, you, as head of the Democratic Party out here, having hand-picked Tiffany Zolkowski.
I'm not head of the Democratic Party. Sorry.
Well, I thought you were ahead of that little committee. It's the way it read up in the paper.
That was on. I was a member of a committee, yes, that reviewed and interviewed candidates for Zach Fansler's open seat, and all of us then made the decision that it would be Tiffany who would fill that seat. Okay, go ahead.
Very fine. You're a political voice advocating, and you're left-leaning as all get out. I love your stand on Donilon. We're the exact same there. But I think that your politics outweigh your usefulness right at the moment. Until this election is over, I think you should just take a break from the radio station. And that's what I've got to say this morning.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Willie. All right. So, I think that's fine for people to call in.
Yeah, everybody.
Any point of view.
Yeah, yes, that's what.
Express it politely,
welcome,
and you're
course,
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, yes. Makes it interesting, you know, and yes, you are. And the lines are wide open now. And, you know, please feel free to call with whatever you got on your mind.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
this is your talk show, so.
Yeah.
Yes, and then our numbers are the same, 543-KYUK. That's 5985-543-2756. 800-995-8954.
Yes, and we have a caller. Susan, welcome to... Oh, Bethel Awesome is how she's referring to her location.
Okay.
Welcome to Talkline, Susan.
I only did that because Grady was doing the phones.
Okay.
Yeah. I always think of Awesome when I think of Grady.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Yes.
Uh-huh. Good job.
Yes.
I figured I better get my calls in before you take your break.
Yes.
You know, we're all in it together. We got to survive this Trumpublican zombie apocalypse together.
Okay.
And that means being nice to each other.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Willie was polite. I can't fault him at all. And I appreciate his view.
It was a polite version of Willie. That is certainly... And shorter, too.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to let you know, I'm kind of taking on, there was a volunteer positions opened all over the state to help with explaining and promoting, mostly explaining, because I really had bad experience with my friends with it, but I figured I better just learn about it and see what I can do, and it's with Medicare.
Okay.
Which
yes.
is something you start dealing with when you're 65, and some people might miss out because of us. Our Social Security benefits have been delayed a few years, but you still got to face that confusing monster of Medicare when you're 65. And I'm not near that yet, but I will in a few years. So I offered to volunteer to do it out here, and if anyone else wants to do it, that's fine too. Initially, they sent me some materials. I'll have it at Saturday Market, but it's going to be a really steep learning curve for me, too. I don't start the online training until next month, and then some webinars in October and some Anchorage visits. So at this point, I have printed information. I have numbers you can call, very basic information. I will not be I'll get these levels of training to be more qualified to do more things if I stay with this, and it's needed out here. You know, Medicare, there used to be help at YKHC with that, but now their focus is just Medicaid only. It's too big of a bear to mess with. And it's too individualized now, and the options and all that are so confusing. And mid-October till it's an end of December, you have an opportunity each year to renew it and change it, which everybody should look into it because the regs keep changing, too. It's like... you know how you do your taxes. There's different things that change over the years on that. So it is a confusing monster. I don't know if I'm going to I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to start the training next month. And but for now, I'll have some materials at Saturday Market that they give me stuff to give out. They're deputizing me at that level at this point. So if you come by Saturday Market, if you're a baby boomer, and I would say if you're 62, 3, or 4, you should probably look at this one flyer I have that talks about how to roll into this. And they also get me some fun materials to hand out, like there's these really cool gel pads that if you nuke them for 15 minutes in the microwave, no, 15 seconds in the microwave, or you freeze them for 2 hours in the freezer. They're good for sore muscles and all that. And they sent me some other goodies, too. So I'll have that.
I'm going to go by that table.
I'll have some goodies at Saturday Market, too, from them. And all right. And have a good weekend, everybody. Oh, Bethel Friends of Canines doing the pancake breakfast this Sunday at BFW.
I know.
They're advertising it says to start at 11, but last time it started earlier because I went at 11 and it was already whatever, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, it was already whatever. Oh, you have lived here a long time. Well, thank you for volunteering for that Medicare education thing.
We'll see how long it lasts. It's just something I figured, you know.
Yeah.
There's enough to do in this town. I've been busy at the different nonprofit things they've had at the Culture Center this month.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they've had some really awesome workshops. And I think next week ONC's doing one all day, Wednesday and Thursday, about community wellness and suicide awareness. And I really appreciate what the different people are doing. Last week, AVCP did one on child welfare. So these are good. They're good service for the community to do something at the Culture Center.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you work, just go by during noon hour and check it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, well, have a good weekend, everybody.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Bye.
All right. I'm still a couple of years away from my Medicare, but I see it on the horizon.
Mm. Well, yeah, we appreciate Sue for helping out. You know, she's wherever there's something going on that needs a volunteer, she seems
she's
to
always
be there.
Yeah, she's at that table. I know.
Yes, I know. We appreciate that, Sue.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so we have a few things going on this weekend. We have Saturday Market tomorrow, and Susan will be there. She has some information on Medicare and also some freebies, like some heat packs that you can also use and put in the freezer, and they can become a frozen pack for your sore muscles. And the 4-H, when is the 4-H having their kids fair? Is that tonight?
No, tonight is the teen night from 7 to 9.
Oh, teen night. Okay,
and
that's
then, right. I didn't catch that part about the fair night thing.
For the
judging. That's through, I wrote down through September 6th, something, you know, that they could turn in what they're going to be doing, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's been a couple of calls about Chalista, an email about concerns with Donlin and concerns with Diane. We also have to say, and I mean, there's concerns out there. And then Medicare with Susan Taylor and...
And then...
Yeah. So.
Yeah, first caller, though, you know, it was about safety traveling on a Kuskokwim, you know, which is extremely important.
And then tonight, just so you know, tonight starting at 9, you'll be taking the scenic route instead of driving on Chief Eddie Hoffman past the hospital. You're going to go
That's right. So
the scenic route. All right. So we have an anonymous caller from Bethel. Good morning, anonymous. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Amen.
Hello.
Said don't. Do not be thinking about about being against each other in Yupik. That's one of our values of our, you know, people, our elders have taught us, is that do not be looking for something to fight about with your neighbor.
Okay.
Something like that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. We have Eleanor from Antioch. Good morning, Eleanor. Welcome to Talk Line. You're on the air.
Good morning, everyone.
We finally got our
radio back here in Antioch.
Wow. Yay.
We were all so happy yesterday when we found out.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for listening to this show.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. We missed all the shows. Okay, you have a good day. Thank you very much.
Hey, wait, Antioch. Did the affair already happen?
Yes, it did. It's gone. Here and gone.
No, how was it? Was it good?
It was okay. Yeah, they had a band here from Anchorage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. An Anchorage band.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Good to hear you.
Happy to get you guys on the air again.
Oh.
Say hi to Grady.
Okay, hi, Grady.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's nice. You know, mm-hmm. I like when like different communities call.
Yeah,
like
course,
our CHEVAC.
Yeah.
We sometimes get a CHEVAC call mm-hmm. that just says hi.
You know, it would be nice to hear from UConn side too.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you know, we hardly get any calls from up that way. I've been beginning to wonder if they can hear us up there.
Yeah.
On the UConn site.
Well, UConners.
Yeah.
Can give us a call. So. We have Ina from OTNC. Hello, Ina. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to mention, I know we were on coffee time yesterday, but I wanted to mention about the community wellness gathering next Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday. Be given a chance. I invite you to 8:30 registration sign in, and the event is free, and it starts at 9 o'clock, and we're going to serve a lunch, so there'll be free lunch around noon, and we'll resume at 1:30 to about 4:30. So we're inviting everybody, Cultural Center, next week, Wednesday and Thursday, the 29th and 30th. Thank you.
Hey, wait.
Ina.
Ina. Now, go ahead, Peter. Yeah, you were going to say.
Yeah, Diane and Grady, they wanted to know what you just said in English.
Oh, but and I hear that you have a really good British accent.
Yes, we're having a gathering over at the Cultural Center on the 29th and 30th. No? And
that's good.
Everybody is invited.
Oh.
We will have some elders that will be sharing their well of knowledge. And so we're inviting everybody to come. Starts at 9 o'clock. Lunch will be served.
Good.
It's free. It's free for everyone. And just come. It's a community wellness gathering. And you're invited.
That's so nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
like you could just
starting when?
Starts at 9 o'clock.
Okay. I mean, no. What date?
Oh, what date again? Give us those 2 dates.
Wednesday and Thursday, 29th and 30th.
Okay. 29th and 30th. And is it mainly like someone might come and there will be speakers talking about just health and well-being?
Yes.
And
oh, yes.
And,
yes.
And will some of it be in Yukden?
A lot of it will probably be in Yupik, and so we have translating, you know, like a translating system we're mm-hmm. going to be using for those that need translating.
Awesome. Actually, I just got a hold of your agenda for the couple of days, so I see you've got all kinds of things listed. That's great.
Yes, and we were on coffee time yesterday morning, but I wanted to stress it out there to everybody listening on the radio.
Yeah.
To welcome them to come. We're excited about the event. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Okay.
Thank you.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day.
Good.
Cheers.
You know, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, so that's what a neat. I'm going to go drop in on that.
Yeah. That's good. Good things are happening.
Yeah, I like that. And it's 2 full days, and it's a community wellness gathering next Thursday and 29th and 30th, Wednesday and Thursday. Okay, good. All right. So I'm glad she called, and we'll give out the numbers again. And our lines are wide open, so
yes,
you're welcome to call.
So,
and
feel free to call. Our time goes fast, so
yeah.
You know, we've got a little over a half hour left, you know, so please, you know, if you're planning on calling, good time to do it is now. Our lines are wide open. 543-5985, that's 543-KYUK, 543-2756, 800-995-8954.
Yeah, okay, we have Barbara from Bethel. Good morning, Barbara. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. This is Barbara. I'm
back from Florida.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I didn't want to burn any sunshine. The weather is good the way it is.
Good for you.
Didn't want it to get too dusty out there.
No.
Yeah, I've called for quite a while. Everybody wants to talk with you guys today. That's good.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, so...
calling to say hi. Have a safe weekend. Treat people how you want to be treated, share a hug.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes. The hug sharing.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. Welcome back.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay. So that's, we got, Zero that's hug. Open. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. You know, it is a bit breezy, a little bit breezy out there, but it looks good though, you know, like.
Well, consider, I mean, this is good for us this summer.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been as sunny as usual.
Yeah.
But then we look on the upside, no dust. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. got to weigh it out. There's always something.
You can always find good out yes. of anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we have Shadi from the Bethel Fitness Center. Mm-hmm. Who we haven't heard from in a long time.
Yeah,
Shadi, where have you been?
I've been over here.
Have you?
Okay. Forget to call sometimes.
Okay. Right. What's going on?
So we got a bunch going on. So first things first, tomorrow is Free Saturday, so the Angstman Law Office has very kindly agreed to pay for the cost of admissions for children 12 and under from 12 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. So it looks like we're getting some rain for tomorrow, so if you're not going to be outside, it's a great, healthy opportunity to bring your kids over to a fun environment, and it's really cost-effective. And that'll be tomorrow from 12 to 8 p.m. All of our fall programs, so all of our instructional programs, our children's dance classes, our adult group fitness classes, our aquatic classes, all of those classes start the week after Labor Day, so that'll put us at September 10th. The week prior to that, we're going to do a free program week. So if you're a member of our facility, you get free access to all the programs we're going to run on the week of Labor Day.
Wow.
If you're not a member of our facility, you will pay a small drop-in fee that members normally pay for those classes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to populate all of our marketing materials relatively soon. If you come over to our facility, all of our programming information is already up, and you can look and see what kind of classes we have. We have the full schedule of everything that we've traditionally done. So we have Warren's judo class that starts back up here really soon, September 10th. We have yoga, boot camp class, cycling class, boxing.
Water aerobics?
Water aerobic. There's two water classes. So there's water aerobics and there's deep water fitness with
deep
Jody Drew.
Deep water fitness. Oh, my.
Yeah, so
is that in the deep end? Oh, you're in the deep end.
You
have to, like,
deep end.
Oh, you have to tread water.
Ooh. Well, you have a belt. You have an aqua belt on.
Oh, that
so.
Keeps you...
Floating. Yep, so it keeps you float. It keeps you floating, so it just gives you more room to exercise, and that's a really cool class. So if anybody's interested in taking those classes, the free week would be a great opportunity to test them out for a small fee. If you like it, join the entire session. If you don't like it, you'll decide not to take that class.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Finally, we have a lifeguard certification class coming up, and this class is going to run the week of Labor Day. So all the children are out of school for moose hunting. So that'll be Tuesday, September 4th through Saturday, September 8th. The class is going to run 12 to 6 p.m. Like all of our other classes, this is going to certify you to be a professional lifeguard here at our facility. Basically, if you make it through the class, we'll hire you on. So if anybody out there is looking for a part-time job, or any parents listening, and you want your child to get a part-time job, a lifeguard is an awesome opportunity.
Employers see
lifeguards as a step up from the entry-level employee, because they are making those difficult decisions and they have the responsibility of other individuals' lives when they're on at work. So it's a great part-time job, great entry-level position, and we will train you. So we're looking to bring on some lifeguards.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you. Now, Shadi, you probably can't do so now because you're calling in your capacity as a fitness center person, but you should call in sometime and tell us about your candidacy for city council, why you chose to run, and what you'd like people to know about you.
Yep, I can definitely do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do that. All right. Well, that sounds wonderful.
Day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye.
Yes.
Yeah, the fitness center is just got anything, whatever you need to do, there's a class for you.
Yes.
Whatever you're capable of, there's a class.
And a lot of activities
on many
there.
Levels. Yeah. So, okay, thank you for that. And we have another caller, Casey from Bethel. Good morning, Casey. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Peter and Diane. How
good
are you?
Good morning, Casey. Yes.
We're good. Good.
Good.
Yes.
I have just a brief announcement about tomorrow, the Bethel Mud Volleyball Tournament.
Okay.
That is going on now. It is out in the pit, and it's the first left after you pass Larson Subdivision. First left. So that's where it's going to be at. I think they're going to have a bonfire. We're going to have food and desserts, and you know, probably hot dogs, burgers, and some desserts. I believe the AC store has generously donated some of the food.
What time?
It starts at 11 a.m.
Tomorrow, okay.
Tomorrow. And I do not know if you can still play or not. I don't know that. Joey Valadez at 545-1357, he's the guy that's spearheading this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you can go, there's a Facebook page, Bethel Mud Volleyball, but I guess you have to use the Eventbrite link. I'm not a Facebooker,
okay.
So yeah. I don't know what that means. But anyway, that's it. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and it's mud volleyball, so it doesn't matter if it's raining or not.
Okay, and will there be, there probably should be like a sign or something, because past Larson, there's like a new left turn. The first left turn is where they're built, where they've cut in a new kind of dirt road into the pit. And then there's another one that's sort of the left turn that people would probably typically think, but then you'd have to walk a little ways to get into it.
I will get with Joey on that, and we'll make sure we get some kind of sign out there so it's obvious.
Because we're getting lots of sand pits now in Bethel, so it's kind of hard to know where which is what. But anyway, okay.
They should be able to park right in the pit area, right?
I would imagine so, but I haven't even been out there to see what's going on. But I know they've been working on the mud pit itself for a week or so now. They've been working on it and watering it, and I think they put some tarps underneath it to kind of hold the water. And I guess it's supposed to be kind of a real wet kind of mud is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to get you really muddy, really dirty. Okay, well, that's part of the fun.
Like, it sounds like fun.
It does. And also fun to watch. I mean, you don't even have to get muddy to enjoy it.
Well, so.
Well, thank you, Casey.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Okay, we have a caller, Dave, from Bethel. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to Talk Line.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
I'd like to invite anyone who would like to go out to the ATG Memorial Park to pay tribute to 1,438 men that served during wartime.
Okay.
Please go pay tribute to those folks. As you know, we just celebrated VJ Day, the end of World War II. And the last thing is, since there's been mention of politics, there's the election coming up October 4 for four council members. If you like the way the government is run, if you would like a government that can get audits in on time, a government that taxes and spends, we have the highest tax rate in the state. Now we have fees on alcohol purchased in Anchorage on the books. We have hundreds of ordinances that's not being enforced, like the dog ordinance, for example. It's time, perhaps, for change, or not. Perhaps it's time that the local people of Bethel get out and vote and take the city back from the carpetbaggers that have been on the city council for a while. This is your opportunity to take back the city.
Okay.
And get out and vote.
Yes.
I thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Very much.
All right.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Next on the next we have Max from Kuitluk. Good morning, Max. Welcome to Talkline.
Thank you. I'm a member of Quick Search and Rescue, and I want to urge people to be very careful traveling. You know, try not to come back late in the evening when it gets too dark. I noticed that quite a few boaters are going up and down, and they're going home late at night in high rate of speed. Use some kind of lighting, or if you have a big light, big lighter, use that going home. It gets dark about maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30. And I know that moose season is around the corner, and people will be heading home late. And try to get some kind of lighting or headlamp that mushers use, and avoid traveling in high rate of speed in Churchill. You know, there's a number of bends that are pretty dangerous. And so that's all I got, but I'd like to translate that in Yupik.
Thank
you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We have a caller, Harry. Good morning, Harry. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah.
From Bethel.
Yep, Bethel. You know, I had to call in. We always hear, just like Max said, we always hear reminders of always wear your PFD, personal flotation device. Well, some of us are just stubborn. Even though we hear it continuously, we don't wear it. So that changed my mindset yesterday. You know, I was drifting yesterday with my wife, and, you know, with the boat that I use, the Allweld, the front tank is kind of high, you know. While I was pulling the net, I was reaching over for the salmon that was on the net that was just about to come off. When I was leaning down, I fell in. And thanks to quick reaction and my wife being there, she was able to have her motor towards the shore. And before we got to a shore, the motor was wound up with the net. And good thing there was a boater passing by at the right time that helped us out. You know, that changed my mindset. Now, always wear a PFD.
Yes.
You know, boots in water is heavy. So
yeah.
So like all those. I always hear it from just about everybody, not everybody, but a lot of times. I always wear a PFD, so
yes.
Like to reiterate and make, you know, sometimes we have to learn the hard way through trial and error. So
yeah.
I had to bring it up. PFD, blood yes. preservers.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yep.
Thank you.
You know, that's a really important, you know, accidents can happen without any warning, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they happen like quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're without a PFD, then you would have a terrible time in the water, you know. In fact,
yeah, the risk just goes that much higher.
Yes, yes.
Because
that's
hypothermia, especially if it's in fall and the very coldest times for water.
Yeah, no matter how good you think you are, you know, or how, you know, the accidents are no regarder of anyone.
No.
You know, so yes, yeah, PFDs, they can save your life.
Yeah. All right. We have another caller, Mike from Bethel. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Talkline.
Hey. Yeah, good morning, Diane and Peter.
Good morning.
Yeah, so anyways, Mike Schatz calling. So, Diane, I was listening to your show here this morning, and just a little while ago, you had a city council member had called in, and you had invited the city council member to get on, and I'm just calling to hope that you'll extend that same offer to everybody that signed up for city council this year.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, yeah. We would invite anyone. Excuse me. We would invite anyone who's running for city council to call in and tell us about yourself, why you're running. That would be, they can go on the show Coffee Time. I think it's Coffee Time with Grady and Petra. That's another show that is really worthwhile. So, I just happened to mention it because I knew that Shadi had put his name in.
Yeah.
But if anyone else wants to call in and tell us,
yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then,
thanks, Mike, for suggesting that.
I think it just takes a phone call and they can schedule you in with that coffee at KYUK.
Yep. You can talk to Grady or Petra.
It's a popular
and,
show, yes.
Yeah, and get scheduled for that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I appreciate that suggestion.
Okay. Kuyana, Mike.
Wilson from Bethel. Good morning, Wilson.
Yeah, good morning there, happy people.
Uh-oh,
yes.
We hear sounds like you're underwater. I hope that Meg shark isn't getting you.
my nose is totally, my sinuses are totally clogged, and I can't even.
No. Okay.
Life goes on, whether you're recuperating from an illness or, anyway.
All right, what do you got?
When it comes to, safety, it's never good to turn down or reject or refuse someone's offer to or suggestion for you to drive safe or be out in the boat safe or, you know, wintertime, be prepared. Even if you have a new vehicle or a really nice vehicle, you still should have all your survival gear. Blanket, sleeping pillow, water, all that good stuff to preserve your life for a little longer so you can have a chance to be rescued in an emergency, you know?
True.
The other thing, too, is I keep on losing my track. But anyway, we're going to be tearing up that road tonight. And I would really encourage drivers, especially cabs, and if they're in a construction zone, which is going to be from New Waikea all the way to Standard Oil Road, that's a construction zone because you're passing through that area. You have to reduce your speed, and there's no need to be in a hurry. Because when people are trying to be in a hurry and they disregard a sign that says construction zone, and common people, it's common sense to know you're supposed to reduce your speed, just like in a school zone, 15 miles an hour or thereabouts, just for a reaction. But if something happens, you can react to it without getting hurt or without hurting other people. So, I'll be driving a dump truck
removing that asphalt, and I'd hate to see someone try to go around equipment or trucks just because they can, you know. And I don't like that when it happens. It puts themselves in danger because a big truck, all that weight. How could I stop on a dime? I can't. So safety, that's priority number one during this construction and road crew detour.
Yeah.
I'm glad KYK is here to remind people. You know, it'd be a good reminder in the mornings too for everyone, police or state trooper or cab, have your lights on in the morning, especially on the highway if it's foggy, you know.
It's daylight,
but you still need to have your lights on. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Wilson.
Yes, all those safety tips. Yeah.
From beautiful downtown Bethel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll take it no other way.
Speaking of the construction, now I go by and I keep track of what's going on at the seawall down there past Karina's case lot. Yeah. And they've really got it all very level. You know what they should put? They should put like some picnic tables there and some comfy chairs over on the seawall for the people fishing.
Wow.
Just kind of make it like a little, like a mini park area.
Yeah,
but I don't know who owns the land there, so maybe we're not, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so we have Fritz has called in. He's also a city council candidate. So Fritz, welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Fritz.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Awesome, right on. Both of you guys know I got a bunch of hats under me, but the main reason I'm calling is what Max said earlier, you know, on top of what he said, you know, make sure when you're out there camping, make sure you bring back all your trash with you, you know, instead of burying your trash underground. It's really light just to bring back home, you know. The hunters out here are starting to forget, and they need constant reminders, everybody including myself. And you know, bring back your trash, have respect for Mother Nature out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring your trash back, be safe out there hunting. When you're traveling in the dark, have some sort of light. So be careful out there when you're out hunting, and good luck to everybody, all the hunters out there.
Now, Fritz, you're a candidate for city council, so you, maybe not now, but you, if you want to, you could call in and tell us a little bit about your running and what would you like people to know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll eventually do that. Now is not the time. I'm going to be heading down to the village where the tragedy happened a couple of weekends ago.
Okay.
So I'm going to be heading out of town for about a week.
Okay.
And pay my respects down there at the village.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Okay. We have a caller, David from Tuluksak. And I think he's going to speak in...
Good morning, David.
Yukton, and then translate. Maybe.
So. Yeah, Peter, translate the Hebrew after bit of cheer, bit of cheer. Lam, why display Nakoya could then do to Tani mission. How many years ago, maybe last year, Makutim could camp a little, camp a masrit, respect the Halibi Bishop. So if we light nut the Gayu Lachtut Chamun, so nut the Galachtut. Do you kelachtut nut the Gakam Campaita Yaks and Estate? Tam Pitach Kam Pinislinganat. So is Taliuna Aipa Kanakaka. Tali. Next door ang kisong ito, kranika nito eh. Tani manani. Piteng ngakamang. Nut gaya kay tutut katakunin. Nut gaya kay tutut. Taw na next door camper ak
Okay, all right, David. Yeah, yeah, Kuyana. Kuyana ka matun kayaga gulutin. The caller from Tuluksak just wanted to, with the moose hunting season coming up upon us, you know, we have to be thinking about safety, and also he's asking respect for other hunters around you. Like he sounded like he's been out there camping in the past, you know, where he witnessed and noticed people just shooting around with their rifles and whatever they were doing, you know, in the nighttime shooting. And also he noticed also at one time that people that have gotten a moose, you know, and then before they went home, they were shooting around. I don't know, he said they weren't shooting at any more game. They were just shooting off rounds and maybe chasing some possible game that others can be harvesting. So, and then not only that, it could be, you know, hazardous to be just shooting anywhere where there's hunters probably not in view, you know, trying to be inconspicuous out there. And then, you know, he just wants people to be respectful of others and ease down on the shooting and targeting. That's about what he said.
All right. Well, thank you for that call from Tuluksak. And I am uploading an email that I'm going to read. This is from, I think it's okay to use the person's name. It's Donna Bach, former Bethel resident, ONC tribal member, and Chelista shareholder. Mm-hmm. And this is her email. For clarification purposes, based on last week's talk line, a vote yes on ballot measure 1 is in support of Stand for Salmon. A vote no on ballot measure 1 is what the Stand for Alaska group is backing. What many don't realize is the reasoning behind the Stand for Alaska is for industry and economic drivers largely related to natural resource extraction, including mining, natural gas, and forestry, are in the business for what? Where does the money from the ground go to? In an owner state like Alaska, the oil and gas funds go to pay for everything, including roads, Medicaid, public safety, schools, and about everything else under the midnight sun, including troopers, health care, cost match for funds, runways, just to name a few. Regarding private industry, and in this case, let's use the Donlin Mine, it is the premise from which all of the Native and village corporations should operate in order to make money. This is not a secret, and it certainly has many in the YK region furious that the EIS, which is the Environmental Impact Statement, study, and two key federal permits have advanced to where they are at. That is the sole purpose of their being, not to sit around and wait for another ANSCA 7I and 7J distribution from ASRC and NANA. Chelista, TKC, and BNC all retain 8A programs, construction programs, and large industry employers who are always in dealings with federal government contracts, construction, and other areas of industry. Another clarification is that so much of rural Alaska's village corporations, of which there are 177 and 12 regional Native corporations, rely on natural resource extraction as a means to operate. Do you like receiving dividends in the form of PFDs or as a shareholder? If it were not for the 7I and 7J revenue-sharing clause of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, the 70% royalty revenue-sharing provision, which the entire 56 villages of the YK region benefits from tremendously, if that didn't exist, our rural economy wouldn't exist. And we think things are expensive in rural Alaska. Imagine if a community IRA or village corp Corporation wasn't able to purchase bulk fuel without their 7J distributions to last a winter. Tuluksac and their repeated infrastructure and power plant woes are just one example of the extreme opposition of self-determination and sovereignty. They are repeatedly leaning on the state of Alaska and industry to curb their power plant woes. If one looks at the ASRC revenue sharing provision on their website, they have distributed $27.7 billion to all Alaska Native Corporation and Village Corporation entities over the last 40 years. Imagine what Alaska's economy would have looked like without this aspect of ANCSA. It does explain why so many people are in support of higher scale infrastructure projects such as the advancement of the Donlin mine, not to mention the large scale energy gas line to the region, which could help absorb the high cost of living evidenced throughout the region. Anyone complain about GCI recently? This may also facilitate actual broadband fiber optic connectivity as well. On a final note, if people want change, they need to do it with their vote. An 18% turnout rate in the primary election is abysmal and a reflection of how less than 20% of the population controls and contributes to the outcomes of what the rest of us have to live with. Nothing is going to change unless the people of the YK region say it with their vote. It is no secret that for a region of 40,000 plus people and a shareholder base of approximately 18,000 age-eligible but likely not registered voters with origins from the entire region, if they came together to write in a candidate, even if it was Mickey Mouse, the people of the 56 communities in the YK region, and even if they live on the road system, could control the outcome of nearly every gubernatorial or federal election. If the power is truly with the people need to exercise that power, not run away or allow others to make that decision for them. The status quo has gone on long enough, but the decision resides with those who actually choose to make it. The power is with the people if they choose to exercise it with their vote.
Hmm.
Donna Bach. Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot. And then and she had figures to back up what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't mind being able to read that on a like...
take your time sort of basis.
Yeah.
I'll forward it to you. Oh, you mean like in an essay in Delta Discovery?
Yeah, for others to read. Yeah, those are some important information she had.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So. Thank you for sending in that email.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, we have the United States Poet Laureate will be at the Cultural Center August 28th. You can call Teresa for more information at 543-4517. It'd be great to have the name of that poet. Now, the United States Poet Laureate is a poet that's chosen by each administration to sort of, capture in a poetic way and represent the United States. It's a very top honor. I'm so impressed that our poet laureate is going to be here, and we're going to get the name up on the screen here. Grady is busy Googling as we speak.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Anyway, now, that's a really exciting thing. I think that's free.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that poet going to be holding a, whatchamacallit?
They're going to have a reading. So they'll be reading their poetry most likely on that evening. So we look forward to that and who this person is. So our lines are wide open, but you have about 4 minutes of the show left. So if you got to squeeze an email in.
Yeah, you can call in. You know, just might have to be limited on time, though. So please do call in if you'd like. You know, this is the closing time for our talk line show. And it's been a good show. You know, we have we had a lot of callers and people emailing us, you know, so we're always appreciative of your response. And you know, when you take part in your talk show, that does make us feel, you know, like we are doing a bit of service for the YK Delta.
Yeah, so I want to say that the poet laureate is Tracy Smith. She was 2017 poet laureate, and she was reappointed this year to continue being the poet laureate for the United States. So that's a really big honor. And it's really the person goes around and does poetry readings to help people have more appreciation for poetry and It's really wonderful that they're coming to Bethel. That's a really cool thing.
Yay.
So anyway, there you go. So we're, gosh, we're just, now, have you gone out for blackberries yet?
Not for blackberry, a little bit the other day, yes. We were just within the city, and then they're big this year.
Yeah,
like the blueberries.
I noticed that myself.
Yeah, so the blackberries are just as well. You know, they're huge this year, and then there's plenty of them.
Yes,
at least where we went, you know, people are posting pictures, you know, of all the blackberries they're gathering this year. So you know, if you love berries, you know, maybe take time to get out and gather some. Yes.
This is your year. And then we have the reds, and then it's the end of berry season.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat those bog berries?
The what?
The bog berries.
The bog.
Moss berries. The one that's, it's just a red berry, and it's like on a little hair-like stem. And it just sits there on the moss.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not clustered up. They're in Do you ever eat those?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, when I'm thirsty, you know, I grab one of those and let it pop in my mouth. And, you know, they satisfy your thirst.
I watched an elder pick the right mushrooms, and she kind of mashed them up a little bit. Well, like right out there on the tundra. And then she picked some berries, mixed that in. She had her like a mini mushroom agouric right there. I said, "What are you eating?"
Yeah.
She like showed me. Said,
you have
wow.
to be careful though. What
that's
kind
pretty
of mushroom
cool. Well, she knew. She's an elder, so she
elders,
knows.
They know, but if you don't know what kind of mushroom you might
you don't
be eating,
want to risk it.
Yeah, you know, some of them are not healthy, or they're not, or some of them could be.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word? Poisonous.
Yeah. Or yeah. Toxic.
Toxic.
Yeah. Could do something to you. You don't want that.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I think that's kind of going to wind up our show.
I think so.
And we'll
we
have a good
thank
weekend,
everyone that called in.
Thank you for listening and calling and emailing. And we will hear from you, and you'll hear from us in a week.
Yes,
next
of course,
Friday.
Yes. So God willing, yes, we'll be here again. And then we just want to thank everyone that participated, you know, in our call-in show. So everyone have a safe and a wonderful weekend. There's a lot of activity out there, so participate and be safe. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.